Now, the point that FSC raises is that if you end up getting that report now, the pitch is, I'll say pitch is, instead of coming back to us, they decide to transfer this grant directly to municipality. That's what the pitch is, my conclusion from this Division of Revenue and what FSC is saying, because from our side, we're still waiting a report from yourself, PG, and the PG of finance in terms of the expenditure, because that grant was really not spending. I know that National Treasury wanted, you remember that National Treasury wanted to take it back to COPTA, and we're saying NIG is not performing. It can't, what you call which COPTA is administering is not performing, so COPTA can be burdened with another grant. But now we would really like to you, DG, to explain to us what does this exactly mean, this arrangement, in relation to RIC, your rural housing infrastructure grant. And the National Treasury will come after you.
Chair, let me, before we deal with the operationalization aspect of the new change in terms of managing the grant, let me first indicate that the meeting of DGs did take place, of the two DGs, as was instructed by the committee, to discuss, among other issues that we wanted to discuss with Treasury, the issue of RIC. And in that particular meeting, after a long discussion that we had, where the Human Settlements was providing its own position on the matter, we came into conclusion with the DG National Treasury that we need to bring board other related linked departments, such as Water Affairs and COPTA, into a further meeting to further make the necessary recommendations and the plan that you have requested. And that was a pending meeting. However, I ask our colleagues to meet and discuss the issues in relation to the plan that you have required, which also did take place. We have not concluded the process of discussions. So I'm providing a background context at a decision that you are making reference to, Chairperson, with all due respect, has happened prior to the conclusion of the process that you have asked us to embark on. I just wanted to clarify that part. The operationalization and the implication of the changing from Schedule 7 to Schedule 5B, how it's going to work in terms of the decision that has been taken by National Treasury, I'll ask the manager, Mr. Wallace, who is involved directly with RIC, to give just a perspective how this practically will be working on the ground together with the department at national level, with your permission, Chair. Mr. Wallace.
Peter, just before we give your comment, Honorable Tambuza, ours is to say the committees, both committees, they sit together, they say to yourselves, go and work out a plan and come back and report to us before you restructure the water cost. The intention was really not to restructure. I mean, the first meeting that FS is referring to was say, on the restructure, work out a plan on how you can ensure that this grant performs better than it's currently doing. I'm listening to the gentleman, what is his name? Mr. Wallace.
Mr. Wallace.
Mr. Wallace, his first sentence when he presents here, he says, this grant is a bit behind, you know. I didn't understand what that is saying, because from last year, we started working with the department on ensuring that you improve on this grant, because it was that time. It was not improving, and that time you told us that no. Actually, you only received the mandate late, around October 2011 or so. Now, I'm not sure what we're saying here. I don't know if, before we hear from National Treasury, if you want to add to that.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I've got a problem. This issue of rig, first of all, Ms. Natazari was part of our meeting when we were raising the concern of the sanitation, because first of all, the point of departure, sanitation has been transferred to human settlements by the president. It's a proclamation from the president. Now there's this grant, because the function is not yet transferred holistically to human settlements. There is this grant that has been just dumped. We have to say it is dumped now. It has been dumped to human settlements. Human settlements by then had no institutional mechanism to run the grant. They started from the scratch. Human settlements started from the scratch, trying to build up the institutional mechanism to manage. So in the process, and the grant itself, don't forget, the grant itself had challenges, because there was restrictions that were put forward to say they must take the institution, what are they called, parastatal NGOs and so, and what else, I'm not sure, but and CBOs. It's fine, but how would you get to the CBOs and the NGOs, whereas there is this parastatal arrangement? But at the same time, there are only two parastatals that were contracted. It's RDT and the Vula Trust. And then the portfolio committee, together with the arbitration, we thought that there must be a function, because seemingly those two could not have the capacity to implement this grant. And then we were sitting all around, isn't this grant the design? Nobody is able to explain to us the actual design of this grant. It's problematic. But we sat down around the table with the National Treasurer, these two this committees, parliamentary committees, to say, go back and work. Now National Treasurer has decided to come and restructure. Before coming back to report to Parliament, we want to know from the National Treasurer, why did you not come back and report to Parliament before you go and restructure? Because it's fine, we don't have a problem if you restructure with consultation with Parliament. Because this program has been on the agenda for quite a long time. So it means you have decided to undermine Parliament and go and restructure. Now you are coming with it. Grant again. You know that there was a problem with the metros in spending the USDG. And another thing, it's National Treasury's problem. Why I'm saying that? This answer, Idora did not clarify. It gave the metros. It confused the metros, because the metros, they tried to grasp and manage and understand the design of the grant, in fact the purpose, because now they were interacting with the portfolio committee on human settlements. So at least they tried to understand, because they were standing on cemeteries and all the buildings stuff. Then the portfolio committee tried to sit down with the metros. And I'm happy to say that the metros did understood what is the purpose of the grant, and they managed to and that problem was caused by National Treasury. And we condemn that they must not just open the grant to say, if they must stipulate the purpose so that people should understand. Now they are coming now with the rig to conquer again. And yet we told them that in this meeting, COCA is not sending their meek funding. Water affairs, still we do have a problem with sanitation. So in the then same thing happened with who acting chairperson is saying, there's no integration. The reason I'm raising this thing, the issue of COCA, not spending the amic, and then you bring it, how are they going to spend? Human settlement in terms of sanitation. Have you ring-fenced the funds that have to be used that are going to be accountable to human settlements for sanitation? Because sanitation function is under human settlements. What have you done to make sure that human settlements provide service delivered? We don't say bring funds to human settlements at national level. No. We know that they can be implemented on the ground. But what, for instance, the budget speech says for human settlement development is 132 million. How are they going to access the rest, as Honorable Acting Chairperson said? We don't see anything that relates to the other related human settlement related functions yet. So I think let's try to clarify that.
Let's just bring this meeting to maybe to some order. I know that this grant has always been a hot potato, but I don't want us to deal with RILC, with RILC only. But I would like honorable members to open it for the two presentations, open it for your comments, except that to say that you know this RILC. I mean, you must notice from FFC's presentation that in January it was 31%, but it's already reduced. It's not the original. If they were judging it from the original from its original allocation, it means that it would be much, much less than that 31%. So there's a problem. There's a problem. But, honourable members, we're dealing with division of revenue. We're not dealing with just RILC. RILC is part, it's just one component of that. I don't know. I don't want to say let's just deal with this. I don't want to contain yourselves to what, but I would just like honourable members to comment on whatever they would like to comment on. We have also, I think that we have also noticed the expenditure as at the end of the third quarter of some of the grants. May I note your hands, Honorable Sword? Honorable Ramadani, you wanted to just deal with something, process? Honorable Yengen? Honorable Ramadani?
Yes. So I think before you give us an opportunity to say something on the presentation, the question that was asked by the Honorable Chairperson to Treasurer to respond to is about to respond.
Honorable Matana, you wanted to speak on that as well? Oh, okay. No, it's fine then. Ms. Moore.
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe there's been a whole range of issues, and if you can allow me just to reflect on those. As raised by the FFC, we acknowledge the fact that
excuse me, Ms. Moore. You know, now the only issue that I want you to respond on, you will get the opportunity to respond to other issue, but just on RILC, on the rural, what you call, we set up a process. This process somewhere is not followed to conclusion. What is your understanding before the grant is restructured into now the way it is?
Yes. Chairperson, with regard to the sense that the Treasury is running ahead with this grant, I think what we are doing is we only have this one window of opportunity to table legislation that will support the expenditure. So what we are doing is bringing this to these committees to say that as an immediate measure to try and improve the delivery on this grant, we are proposing that it is shifted to a schedule. Obviously, that is still subject to the committee approving the Division of Revenue Bill, so that is how money will flow. I think it is more a sense of urgency than any sense of trying to preempt an outcome, and therefore I'm very happy that we can have the discussion today.
DG, and I shall tell that what we want you to guide us on, let's conclude with this, honourable members, but what we want you to guide us on is that we set up a process. At the end, you send us a Division of Revenue bill that says this is how now this grant is going to work. What you need to assist us, to help us with, we don't want to be involved on issues of operation, but ours is to say we give you this amount, we expect you to spend so much after this period, it's not performing, and if together you have agreed that this is the way that you think that the grant will improve its performance, that is what we want you to tell us. You must tell us so that our job is to improve, is to approve the Division of Revenue, but we want to be satisfied that you're going to perform now with the new design that is put on this grant. Is that what you're telling us, DG?
It is a proposal. Even last time they said it's a proposal, and then we gave them a mandate to go and work a process. They never came back to us and say, now we are here. Now, today, the Division of Revenue is before Parliament. It's still a proposal. It's still a proposal today. So we need clarity on that one. What do you mean when you say it's a proposal? When is it going to be a real plan? You have got to answer. Is this the manner that you have agreed with the National Treasurer that it should be restructured in this manner? And if it's not, let's not delay the meeting. Let's agree to say, we need to agree to say there has to be an urgent meeting that is called by these committees. These two DGs have come before these portfolio committees. I think it's better because we cannot finish it today.
You'll come, DG. I just want to allow members. We have to, as the National Assembly, we must pass the Division of Revenue on Thursday. And we don't want to pass something that we don't know what we are passing. So,
Virginia.
Yes,
I was just going to respond to what the Honorable Chair saying, that we don't have time. We really have no time. And it is really disappointing for the National Treasury not to respect Parliament. I'm saying you are not respecting Parliament because the very first meeting where we expressed ourselves about the location of the grant, you could see that you guys were not happy. We then forced that you must meet and come back to us. Till today, we haven't seen you. Now we're told that it's a proposal. It's a proposal. Now that day it was a proposal and we rejected this proposal with all the committees. United, all the parties, all the committees, for the first time united that we do not agree. Last time when they were here, I think they were here, we were in this room, Chair. We did remind them about the meeting that we had. I don't know what that meeting. Yes. nobody bothers even to call the both, the chair of parliament and say this is what we're bringing or this is what we're intending to do. We're told that is a proposal. And when we are debating, what do we say? What are we going to say? Because something that we have to pass in parliament. How do we pass something that we don't agree with? Something that was spoken with national treasury, not once. What do we do? Thank you.
No, thank you, Chair. The difficulty that I have is probably the difficulty we expressed some time back. We are not sitting here with the bill. We need to engage with it. And there's some in the bill, there is a perspective and direction that we have to engage with. In the middle of that, actually 2 days before the debate of this, we are plunged into this discussion that seems not to have an general agreement between the two critical departments, the Treasury on one hand and, of course, Union Settlement on the other. Now, the difficulty I have is how we, sitting here, going to be able to mediate that. I don't think we have a capacity nor competency to do so. Now, short of saying we are compelled to deal with what we have on the paper to say we agree or not agree, the other matters are matters of portfolio committee. I hear the portfolio committee are other issues which are outstanding issues. They too, in my difficult understanding, we're not going to be able to mediate them here. Because this is the two different committees that won't be able to do this thing here right now. Now we probably are faced with probably an option that somebody was suggesting already, that option of what is it that we need to consider. The two from last year have not been able to do so. Is there opportunity now for them to be able to do so? And in other words, saying that the adjournment, because we're not going to be able to do anything more unless we do that and we get one single perspective. Otherwise, we are forced to, in terms of the procedures, we are forced to deal, to engage with the bill, which I understand is there's some flaws in terms of these issues. Now, that's my difficulty. I have lots of questions in relation to the presentation, which may be the questions as a result of the problems that has been created. So if that can be dealt with in that way and we then minimize the questions, because, I mean, I look at the presentation that was presented here in terms of the challenge. The challenge becomes moving target from year to year. Now, if we're not going to be able to say what is it that we all agree we need to do, so we minimize the challenges, we narrow that space, it's going to continuously be this moving target. And I see the capacity, the coordination, a whole host of other issues that have been raised by the department. Maybe as a result of this moving target from one area to the other. So, Chair, I don't know whether I understand what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that I'm sitting here with a difficulty that we now have to try and see if we can mediate through these issues, and we, I think, don't have that capacity. Unless we can ask the two most senior officials to give us a direction. Now, in the DG's response, he indicated that they have met with a DG Treasury, but an outstanding engagement with Water Affairs and others. Now, again, the outstanding issue, I don't know in relation to that outstanding and the issues that are contained here, whether there is a space to resolve them before Wednesday, basically, today. I don't see a space, that space exists for that to be resolved. Now, I'm asking you, Chair, what should we do in a situation like this?
will allow Honorable Swartz after you. I think that what Ms. Moore is saying the division of revenue is presented to Parliament. It is for Parliament, if we feel that we have to amend, Parliament can amend, can do whatever it wants to do with the bill in front of it. But we are not there yet. We are not there yet. I'm not saying that's what we're going to do, but I'm just explaining what she was saying when she's saying it is a proposal to Parliament. Now, that's what we're going to do on Thursday. But we'll get there, Honourable Members. Honourable Swartz?
Thank you, Chair. Just on the RIC, you know, the RIC to a certain extent allows mainly for sanitation to a large extent. And the money that's being made available for sanitation is very little. And then the FFC raises the question of fragmentation. We've got another infrastructure grant, which is the water infrastructure grant, which is now going to be run by Water Affairs and not even by the departments. And they allow nothing for sanitation in that specific grant. So, you know, we have a serious problem with sanitation. Nothing's been done about it, really. Now, with regard to the RIC, you know, I have serious problems with that being, you know, sent directly to municipalities. Simply from the point of view that the rural, you know, this grant in the 2011-12 financial year, more than 50% of the municipalities that actually received these grants via provinces at this age actually had adverse AG reports. So, you know, how are they going to improve now so that they can actually, when they receive the money directly, how are they going to do it now? They're not capable of doing it. And this is my problem. And as far as I'm concerned, Chair, this committee cannot approve that as a Schedule 5 grant. That's the end of it as far as I'm concerned. But can I raise other questions now as well?
Honourable Sir, did you have your hand up?
We didn't have your hand up.
Chair, my problem as I'm sitting here is that we are dealing with sanitation in rural areas. And then the problem that we are having here is whether the new schedule, which is now going to be directly managed, will achieve this, because in under Schedule 7, some issues were picked up that there was some form of fiscal dumping, and it has been moved to Schedule 5. But I don't know whether during the presentation I could pick up anything from the department that says we're also going to do fiscal dumping. I know this is very difficult, but and we are, tomorrow, fiscal framework is going to be passed. And we are going to pass it, and whatever we are going to do will be bound by the adoption of the fiscal framework. But the question to me is, based on the fact that we are never consulted, and the department raised any issue, maybe there's a time when I went outside, that being given this responsibility, will be unable to do this, because we know we have the problem of concurrency here, where in some issues the provinces' priorities are sometimes not aligned to what the National Treasury, what the National Department can do. So if we can pick up whether this agreement between them was pushed to them, or so that you are able to know how we can move forward.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. Sure.
I think on this, only National Treasury is responding on this proposal. I must tell us what unpack this proposal, because we were debating on this day. What does it mean? Why proposal before the processes that we have outlined to you? We have a few hours to debate on this thing,
it's still a proposal. What does it mean? When you say it's a proposal, does it mean that we can jump now and sit in this meeting and say we don't want this one, and then let it stay where it was, and then we continue? What does it mean?
We want you to help us. You know, Vichy, that we don't, committees of parliament don't meet on Mondays. We're the only committee that is sitting here today. Because, we're supposed to be at my constituency office today. Now we're sitting here. So please, so we do not have time. All that means the reason for asking all these honored members to come here. All of them are supposed to be in their constituency offices, but, and I really want to call it, appreciate that honored members sacrifice their constituency office to come here. But we just want you to help us with. And I think that the last question also, the very pertinent question that they would like to respond on. Just to say, I think, Ms. Moore, you will also explain, to say, the passing of the fiscal framework is just the cake that will be passed tomorrow. Into what happens with each piece inside is another question. PG, you want to just explain to us the implications of this, because we're saying we have given you the responsibility as a human settlement to spend it, and at the 31st of January, FSC said only 31% had been spent of the reduced amount after the adjustment. Now, with your, we don't know whether this, what we're discussing here, is it a result of your discussion? That's what the members are really wanting to know. Just assist us, DG, quickly, because we'd like to move to, there are a lot of issues to deal with this settlement.
Thank you, Chair. It's a bit of a challenge to reflect on the process and the proposal that is in front of us. Chair, the process that I've outlined of getting together relevant departments that are dealing with sanitation was meant to bring back a proposal to this committee as a feedback to the mandate that you gave us. And that mandate will then translate into a proposal that will then get into fiscals in terms of how we want to deal with the matter moving forward. It's a process that one would have expected to happen. At the time I met with the DG National Treasury, I didn't know that already there was a considered proposal to be put forward for consideration by Parliament. If one knew, then would have had to expedite.
I think to us as members, it's a very important fact that we need to understand, you know, and but not outside of nothing. Our understanding is that, and you don't seem to be saying that, is that each department says this is how we intend dealing with this grant. If it is a rural grant, this is how you intend dealing with it. Then National Treasury now, between yourselves, approves. Now you're saying to us, it is not like that. National Treasury came with the proposal, with this proposal. I just want you to confirm there on record. Yeah.
Chair, that analysis is correct. The next important step after meeting with the DG National Treasury was to consult other affected sector departments, in particular Water Affairs and COCTA, and come with a proposal of how do we intend to deal with the rig moving forward in terms of managing it, making sure that the mechanics of implementation and protocols are in place and there is no conflict. And the status quo will remain until such time that proposal has been dealt with by sector departments. And then we come back to this committee as per instruction and present that. Unfortunately, that process is still unfolding. So the proposal that is presented in terms of how RIC should be managed going forward is a proposal coming strictly from National Treasury, not as a survey in consultation with Human Settlement Department. National Treasury.
I don't know if you want to comment on that.
Say, maybe just because it now seems as if the people are not saying what happened. The meeting with the DGs was really on the bigger issue on the function of sanitation. As Honourable Member Leduva indicated, there is a much bigger alignment. The function was transferred, but the legislative context in which sanitation is provided has not properly shifted to the Department of Human Settlements. Now, that was fundamentally the issue that was raised between the two DGs, that there is a larger functional debate on whether the complete legislative role for water, for sanitation, needs to be shifted into the Department of Human Settlements and the relevant legislation written and repealed. So, you know how it is when the big men speak. They speak on the high level of the bigger issues. So I think the DG is correct. At that meeting, it wasn't about scheduling. But the Treasury understanding, A, that we are seeing continuous underspending, and B, that our minister was insistent that we find ways to ensure service delivery happens better, proposed this as a shift of the schedule. It was sent to the department in the allocation letter in November, and this is what we have tabled with the minister in the beginning or at the end of last month. So I don't think it is what the scheduling matters per se. There was a discussion, but the discussion was on that bigger issue, not on RIC. It was on sanitation in general. And I think the issue is where we sit today, we haven't got a bigger solution. And what the Treasury is proposing is, in the meantime, let the money go to where the function is, which is in the constitution of the local government function. That is the proposal, and I apologize for the confusion.
My colleague, Chairperson Dambuza, says, last year, in our VFS meeting, was it October? No, around August. We were informed that the implementing agents were in Vulatra, and IIDT, and was it the third one? That's true. And we said in that meeting, those agents are not performing. Give it to people who can perform. The level to us is not a question who you're giving to, but to us is ensuring that service delivery is extended to the people on the ground. That's all we are concerned about. Who does that? But clearly we say the two implementing agents are not performing. So do something about it. And then we told you, now, before you come, the teacher says, no, they met. But they don't come back to us and tell us that we have met and this is what we have agreed upon. Now, treasury, yes, sir. No, not yet. Now, Treasury says, now we looked at it, and this is what we decided about it. What are you saying? Am I correct? That you, Treasury, you met and decided that this is how this should be implemented. The DG says, and we're saying this about a number of what you call grants. The other day, on Friday, was not Friday, on Thursday, we were with Water Affairs. They're telling us that they're taking their money from MIG. Why? They are sensing that there is no expenditure that is happening with MIG. So they want to do the implementation themselves. But guess what? There is no planning. There's no proper planning for that. Now, we say to those municipalities, rural municipalities, okay, take your money and spend. If today, tomorrow, we call them, unfortunately, Saga is not here. If we invite them tomorrow to come here, here. Well, welcome. No, it's fine. Now, Royal Salah is here, but those municipalities, they have not been given the opportunity to play for this. All we will want at the end of the quarter, first quarter, second quarter, to then go to them and say, have you spent on this? Have not performed. We blame them because they have not performed. But we don't apportion the blame where we're supposed to. For people who pass, give the money, because this money must go there to spend. This money was 439 million last year. It's reduced to 340. Still, it doesn't help. It's a very important function. And let alone the issue, this money is called the rural housing. To me, I still have a problem with that name. If sanitation is housing to the rural people, if not insulting them, but we're not there yet. Because we can't say you're giving them sanitation and say, this is your rural housing infrastructure. I suspect we're insulting them. But we'll deal with that.
I suggest that we call the Department of Social Service. Yes. Tomorrow we will have to find time because we have our schedule in the morning. But then we can't meet them on Wednesday. It will be too late. We have to meet them tomorrow, and then we'll have to make time. Because I really don't want to comment to what the lady is saying. Because what she's saying is that this teaching is meant on different mandate than it's not what we have asked them to do. We didn't ask them to talk about general. And we wanted them to come and report to us so that we can engage on what they are coming with. It was clear that no one plays his role. It was not the fact that this grant is not working. It's not one department that is involved because a number of stakeholders. No matter how one department can want to work, if the other stakeholders are not in, it will not work. We did the same thing with water affairs when it did not work. We did not sit down and check why is it not working. We shifted it to human settlement. Now it's not working. And then tomorrow we're going to take it to state security and say to other departments, because we don't want to look at it and say, why is it not working? Who is not playing his role? That's what we wanted from you. We wanted to know who is not playing his role, and now you must tell us, wanted you to tell us, how are you going to play your role so that this grant can work? You did not do that. Instead, you decided you had a different agenda on what we have asked you to do. So we'll be here tomorrow then.
I think that honourable members, I think it is the only sensible proposal, seeing that we can't get to the bottom of this. Because we don't have time, we're also missing on money. Other people must sacrifice as well. It can be after hours tomorrow, because we have got a program tomorrow. After hours, when all our work is done, we ask the DG for human settlement and the DG for finance to come and tell us. We can't pass the budget, but we don't even know what we're passing ourselves. So we can't do that. We can't afford to do that. So I think there's a proposal. Honorable Matakana, you want to respond?
I'm tempted to agree with the proposal. But before I do that, I wanted to ask the DG a question, if I'm allowed to ask that question. We've heard what the Treasury said about holding arrangement, because what he suggested that in the meantime there is now this holding arrangement that they have designed in terms of this way they say it follow function, they decided. Now the Department of Human Settlement was not informed about this. They were not aware of it. They were not aware that there's a proposal already coming. Now I wanted to understand from the BG that the budget process and the engagement process, is it the first time really that we got to know about this holding arrangement proposed by Treasury after the tabling of the budget by the minister? Because I guess that the process should be a bit more inclusive around these issues, including the involvement of cabinet and DGs. I just want to understand, given that situation, you only got to know about it really that the budget, the document is before us, like the draft bill, or was there anything else that you did in the way of intervening before this process? Because my problem is I have a problem of the process, the cycling of the process. Now, I just want to understand, when the DG says no, was not aware, on one hand, they said there was a letter submitted in November that said this is going to be how we're going to function from now on. What then happened between that period and this period of February when the document is finalized, when actually the budget is finalized?
I understand.
Thanks, Chair. I follow the debate that's taking place. I hope you're following me. But, see, Chair, we have to look at the vision of revenue. In the vision of revenue, it states under that rural household infrastructure grant that the responsibility of the national department, pardon? It's 180. One of the responsibilities of the national department, so it's designed for people of your heart, Chair. Anyway, one of the responsibilities of the national department is to continuously monitor implementation and provide support to municipalities. Now, my question is, based on the historical information that was highlighted by the Fiscal Commission of performance of the grant, does the department believe that it is going to be able to give that relevant support to municipalities to be able to ensure that the budget is spent, the 100 and odd million this particular financial year or not, Chair? Thank you.
Did you? Anyone, you respond, and anybody who wants to add can up to you.
Chair. Yeah. Chair, the CEPCO might deal with some of the issues. There are different processes that happened when this process starts, but the allocation letter is received at the end of November. And in the allocation letter, that is when you'll see what is allocated. If there are any changes, that's when you see. There isn't a consultative process that you get involved with before the allocation letter. So you look into it, then you take it to your executive, you discuss it, which we did as the executive, that this is the proposal, and our inquiry on the proposal was reflected that it's a cabinet decision. So which means ours was to somehow find ways to...
Sorry. I understood Mr. Ramatlakana's question. Arises from what National Treasurer is saying, that... You were given, earlier you said that the issue of the design, from what it was, this grant, now National Treasurer says, look at the grant and this is what we decided. Honorable Matakana said, is this how it works? Isn't it supposed to be human settlement or discussions between human settlement and Treasury? That would inform then whatever allocation is made. I understood that to be the question. So if you confirm it, I think what Honorable Ramatlakane asked me is to confirm what Treasurer is saying.
Sure, that's how it's done.
You are not involved?
No. They use their own methodology of your spending. They take your spending patterns on a particular grant. They use a certain methodology. Then they make a proposal based on their analysis. Then you receive it as a concluded process. Not like you get involved in that particular issue in terms of discussion. So the window of opportunity comes after we have received an allocation letter. That's why after my meeting with the executive, I said, we need to write to National Treasurer and reflect what does this change mean in terms of managing this RIC grant now. Because there is still a responsibility for human settlements. But accountability, implementation, responsibility is with the municipality directly. You don't get involved. You just monitor that. So we discussed it after we received the allocation letter, and we reflected on the challenges we're going to have to continue to manage the grant with the change that is being proposed in allocation later end of November. Yes.
The initiative is also affected by this grant, you know, to a great extent. You know, Hetiche, I think that the proposal has been made from our side that, Ms. Mo, we meet the teachers meet tomorrow, I mean tomorrow morning they have to appear before the committee. Because as a committee, we can't continue to burden municipalities with a lot of work. There's no capacity, there's nothing that is prepared now with the municipalities. Now we said, no, the grant must go there. How they deal with issues of capacity building and whatnot, this year will be wasted on creating capacity so that they can spend the systems at that level, so that they can only spend next year. And that is why last year, when this grant was supposed to go to local government, we said, no, let's not continue wasting a lot of time in changing offices, so each one comes. We said we should move away from that. We want people to get services on the ground, work out systems, bring in your own stakeholders that you think that they will be important to ensure that the service is delivered. You can't make it now all of a sudden the responsibility of the local government. You saw this in January or in November. Definitely, my council has not seen it. They will see it maybe the day before they have to pass their own budget. Now, and then we make them responsible when they don't pay. Actually, you know, the challenge that we have as a committee, I can't tell that we look at on how they're spending. Only to find that they haven't spent, I can't tell that withholds. They withhold the money, that's all. If municipalities can't spend, Nassau will hold the money when we have not afforded them the opportunity to plan. I think we would like to move towards winding up. Honorable Masakana, Honorable Mashiko. Let's move up Mashiko first now, and then Honorable Masakana, you close.
Just if they could answer my question, Chairperson, because if the department states here that they have the capacity to be able to continuously monitor and support municipalities to be able to deliver, because they also have to report on a monthly and quarterly basis to National Treasury, so if they give it to me, if they can say, we categorically state that we are able to do that and that the spending patterns will increase from the 30s, 40s to the 96s, 98s, Let's hear that, Chair, and then they'll show us how they're going to do
it. It's fine, Honorable Snell. I think that the actual spending has gone down, actually. If you look at this report of FFC, where it was, other March 66%, it's going down now, to dying. But they can what you call respond. Mr. Yes. You want to respond to this question?
If I may, Chair, the DG will possibly fire me if I walk out of here.
Because the reason why I wanted to, I thought that you would respond to that question, because I thought yours was to say how we concluding with closing. You're not there yet.
No, I'm not there. The DG was in the process of responding to my question.
Oh.
And then you intervene, your intervention stop the DG from explaining what actually happened, because he was in the process of saying, I then called the executive to write to Treasury to say this. Now, probably there was a formal proposal that was made from the department to the DG after they received an allocation letter. It's a piece of information that, in November, yes, and it's a piece of information that we would need in considering even the question that Honorable Snell is posing, because I think they go together. So if maybe I'm not delaying you, they can respond to both. My question did not complete my question in respond to whether it was that letter to say this, and the other, which was ignored, basically, at the end of the process.
My apologies, Bichi. You're still concluding, Mr. Mari, not Mari.
Chair, we look into the proposal and we identified challenges of the proposal. And we were in a process of analyzing and reflect. We haven't done that to the National Treasury about the in writing about the challenges that we see as we implement the new financial model of dealing with RIC. But we have discussed it at an executive level. And some of the issues that maybe Mr. Wallace, because the challenge he wants to reflect to, is to reflect broadly what does this mean in practical terms, because we, and the capacity required and so forth, and the dual responsibility that sits with municipalities identified and the national department. We haven't done that, but we have discussed it and identified those energies at an executive level. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to put this in from a technical point of view in context, if you will allow me. The RIC grant this year was in the region of 479 million. Correctly or incorrectly, we used IDT and Mbula Trust to implement, and we've got problems. Although delivery has increased, they're not performing as we would like them to perform. Following an agreement with our own portfolio committee, we have appointed 6 additional contractors since about the beginning of this year to take over some of the work which we've taken away from those and to implement by and large in the Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, Northwest and Limpopo, if I remember correctly. So we will have an increase in delivery, but we are still not going to spend our allocated budget this year based on the problems that we are experiencing with Mbula Trust and IDT. However, Chair, I must also say that the budget has now been reduced for 13-14 to about 6 million. That would be an easy amount for us to manage if you look at our historical expenditure. On the other hand, as I said in my presentation, each municipality which have been identified will receive in the million, if it remains a Schedule 5 grant, will receive an allocation of in the region of 4 million rand. Now 4 million rand translates at 9,000 rand per VIP into roughly 450 VIPs. This implies that we would have to build in each of the 25 municipalities 450 VIPs with a budget available. The recommendation that this remains a 5B grant, we will support municipalities to prepare appropriate business plans for them to be able to spend that 4-odd million. You'll notice there are some changes. I'm talking about an average of 4 million. And we can support them in their procurement processes to deliver those units. On the other hand, should the committee decide that this should remain a Schedule 7 grant, I believe we would be able to also manage that as a grant to be implemented by the department, taking into account the size of our budget of only 106 million. We will not, in this case, rely on IDT and Nvula as we did in the past. We will have to appoint additional contractors within those municipalities to assist us to implement this grant. And I hope that provides a reply to our capability of implementing 106. I think, yes, we will be able to do so. But I also believe that the 23, 24, 25 municipalities should be able to implement a 4 million rand program to build 450 toilets within a 12-month period. Thank you, Chair.
Well, I think that we should conclude, Honourable Members. These responses are really not taking us anywhere. I mean, if you look at slide, is it 13 or 14? Of FFC. That slide is very clear. It tells us where the expenditure was at the end of the third quarter, from 2011, expanded the shooting to make it look nice at 67% expenditure at the end of the year. But the real expenditure at the end of March was at 11%, am I right? Now, even if you're that stupid as I am, you can't spend 11% at the end of December and spend 100% at the end of March. It does not need a rocket scientist. Just a simple, straightforward arithmetic, what do you call it? You can't do that. Now, this year is the same, every day is the same. Even this year, we might find that to come end of March, the expenditure 100% actually. This discussion was just a waste of time. We think, DGs, I don't know how it members, maybe after this a ruling that I want to make, you will tell me if we still need tomorrow's meeting. We are saying as a committee, this grant remains Schedule 7.
Yes.
That's what we are saying. You build, between now and the end of the year, you build capacity for municipalities in order to transfer them directly to municipalities. You have got infrastructure, you have got everything. In August last year, we told that there's these two implementing agents. They were not performing. We said the same thing. We're not hearing the first time. I just said that you would appoint more people in order to accelerate expenditure, in order to accelerate the performance. Up to now, it has not been done. Why is it, Mr. Wallace says that now the expenditure has gone up, but unless you say, you can show us something else. Because the report says you are at 17%. I don't know if it means that it has gone up, if it is 17% at the end of January. If you have another information, please provide us with that information that proves that you have performed, you have improved the performance of that. So what we say, honorable members, DG, the schedule will remain Schedule 7, not 5D. Until we work out to capacitate municipalities, after the passing of the Division of Revenue, we can come back and discuss. But we want to involve SALGA in those discussions so that municipalities themselves are given time to build capacity, the province as well. I think that's how we should conclude it, honorable members.
Yeah, man, because otherwise we would also be changing, if we don't do it that way, we will also be changing the fiscal framework, we might change it. So it's better for us to just have it remain as a section, as a Schedule 7 allocation and take it away from 5.
Now we're not going to, it's not going to affect the fiscal framework because the total amount will remain the same. But the change here is happening because they say, no, we want to redesign it, to rework it. But the reality of the matter is that everyone says, we don't want to be responsible for understanding. Let the municipalities be responsible for understanding. So, and we say, no, we can't accept that. So we have concluded on this. It's the remaining Schedule 7. But after this, we are now on March 11. When we come back from the break, we'd want to see human settlements, want to see a SALGA, want to see National Treasury to tell us on how they are going to improve the water cost. And we want to see the report on this, a full report of real with those people. And how we're going to improve the expenditure. Then if you want during the year to change the design in order to accelerate expenditure, that you can do. So that the municipality, the Division of Revenue actually requires that 2 years prior to the implementation of the infrastructure, all the planning should be there in place. But we can't change it in 3 months' time. Mr. Moore? ngizocela ukuphakamisa lapha because nginemember lapha ebhaka kakho nje ngimane ngibona isandla ngiyayibona. No, it's fine, isandla sami ngiyasibona. No, it's fine, ngiyasibona isandla sami. But before Ms. Moore, you speak, let me allow
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to say, to add on that you said, the last time we agreed that every time when there's a budget that's made, must come with a plan. Maybe that's why people are so, the other one is saying, yes, I saw it. You know, there's this conflict among themselves. Because all of them don't have plans. They just do it because it has to be done, someone's got muscles to do it, someone doesn't have. So when they come back, I'm not so sure because it's agreed already, we all want to take, to have a plan that says, this is what's going to happen so that we can be able to monitor. At this moment, we are able to monitor correctly because I don't see any plan that is clear on board. If we can have that, thank you.
Thank you very much. We have built on Rick. Ms. Moore, I'm sorry.
Sorry, Mr. Chairperson. Please just note that the Division of Revenue for the 2013 year classifies grant in kind as a Schedule 6B. So if the committee just wants to adjust the minutes to read that what you want is this grant to be a grant in kind. It used to be a Schedule 7, but it's now Schedule 6B in the Division of Revenue Bill.
With respect, I don't want us now to take this discussion any further because if you say if you're moving it from Schedule 7 to 6B to a grant in kind, if the implications are going to remain the same, I mean, if that is not going to create implications for this continued understanding, because we would like to see a schedule, I would like to have it placed on a schedule that will accelerate spending. You know, and now clearly it means that as a committee we must get the report of this grant on a monthly basis. Mm-hmm. I mean, not on a monthly, but on a quarterly basis. Kind mm-hmm. of monthly. So that we can really see it. But it does explain to us the difference between Schedule 7 and 6B.
Thank you, Chair.
I will explain to the Chairperson because you are how to what the decision was taken.
Okay, on page 35 of the Division of Revenue Bill, Schedule 7 is classified as a provision specifically catering for the release of funds for disasters. What used to be a Schedule 7 is now allocations in kind to municipalities for designated special purposes, which they will be a Schedule 6B.
Fine, you could say it's one and the same thing. No, it's fine. We don't want to make it a disaster. And even that disaster is not performing because if you look at the Division of Revenue, no, we're not going to go there. The Division of Revenue says people must spend it in 3 months' time, and the communities get the grant after a year. I mean,
no,
this disaster money,
years,
it no longer makes sense now in helping people.
National Treasury distributed disaster funding to human settlements last year, in the last moment, and the provinces did not spend that money. They could not spend the money because it was distributed, I think it was in February 2012. National Treasury deposited money for disaster funds in the 2012 February. So provinces could not spend the money. It was fiscal dummy. I don't know who now culturally I love.
Why
didn't we leave it Schedule 7?
Thank you very much, Captain. You know, Ms. Moore, last year, when we were passing the Division of Revenue, because a lot of things come up, we said, let's meet during the year so that we become part of this process. We don't want to have these difficult meetings at the last minute. the process, we want to meet you around August when you have done work and what you're ready before the MPBDS, so that we are all geared up. I mean, we're all on the same level with whether rescheduling or anything. Please, some of members, let's just close this this part we have resolved here. Let's go back now to the main issues. One issue that we is in front of us, that we have received presentation, is that the human settlement grant has increased, but remember, there's a page that you have received. That's one page there. We are not on the third quarter report, APG. However, Now, at the end of December, it was at 65%. It's fine. But the issue that we now would like to deal with, again, from the issue, the reason why we called this meeting, was that you are giving metros to come to accredit them, level 3 accreditation. The report tells us that the USDG as well, it is not what you call, sorry. USDG itself is not performing. And I heard something here that I didn't what you call well understand from the report. And which you didn't tell us is that actually City of Cape Town is, in inverted commas, handling the provincial grants for the province and the Tegwini for KZN. I don't know if I read the report properly from the FFC, but that's what it was saying. Looks like Mr. Cheney agrees. You don't agree? Okay. Now, are the municipalities, are the metros ready for the level 3 accreditation? I want the DJ, you want to lead us. I don't know whether it's yourself, but even if Mr. Cheney speaks on that, and the metros are here.
Yeah, it's one of those. Chair, may I just add to your question by asking also about accreditation? As far as I know, 18 municipalities applied for accreditation. At this stage, we only know of 6 being granted, 2 possibly with Mangalong and the other one that's going to be granted. So there's 2 outstanding. Can we just hear what the position is?
Where are we now in terms of accreditation? You're giving these municipalities almost a billion. Are they ready to? When someone, I'm not going to mention names, FG, Ebruleni was once, Mamutu, Ebruleni was once the best performing municipality when the municipalities could. Not because I agree there, but records, which you are seeing, you're looking down. It used to be one of the best performing municipality at that time. Then these powers, the responsibilities were taken away. Now, where are we as far as this is concerned? And into that was normally an issue of power services and whatnot. Now, I see that the department is trying to harmonize and expedite the process of service delivery. Honorable Mashiro?
I'm coming to the issue of readiness.
because according to the presentations, the metro stations are ready. It's just the rules of their presentations. So.
Chair, I think we need to first look into maybe to refresh our memories about the accreditation process itself and the methodology that is used to deal with that process. I think that could answer a number of questions that have been raised, which is also an assumption thereafter of the state of readiness of those municipalities after that process has been undertaken. And I'll ask the DDG strategy, because also, Chair, will remember, it's also a partly new grant. So to speak, that we are dealing with which we are also building capacity to improve on it. But there are quite a number of processes that get undertaken prior to the status being either reconsidered or elevated. And I'll ask the digital business to just reflect on that strategy. Neville, yes.
Thanks, Chair, in terms of the accreditation process, the department has what is called an accreditation framework, which was adopted. In terms of that accreditation framework, the department at this stage requested the relevant provinces to submit the names of municipalities which they were of the opinion could be assessed for accreditation. And all provinces did that, and in terms of our target, up until 2014, we have set the target of 27 municipalities to be accredited to carry out the function. Of those 27, we also set aside the fact that the metropolitan municipalities, specifically at that stage when we set the target, that the six metropolitan municipalities as they stood then would be assigned with level 3. As we sit now, the department has conducted assessments, and there's 22 assessments that were conducted, and recommendations were made to the provincial MECs to accredit municipalities depending on what those assessments. In relation to the metropolitan municipalities, as we sit here now, it excludes the Buffalo City and Mangaung, because those assessments have been conducted, and we've now sent them to the provinces to undertake, the provincial MCs to undertake the process of accrediting them for level 2. As we sit now, we undertook those assessments, and it was recommended that the six metropolitan municipalities be accredited. So that's where, and those processes have commenced, and as far as we know, that those accreditation processes have been completed for level 2. Okay. Now, what we need to understand is that
just the last word you said, I don't know what is the, as far as you know, accreditations at level 2, can you just...
The level 2 accreditations for the 6, have been approved by the MECs. Okay, so those metropolitan municipalities have been assessed and accredited by the municipality. We're in the process now of putting in process the assignment. So for the 6, as part of the delivery agreement, we are wanting to assign functions. So fully for those municipalities to fully carry out the housing function. And that process we set until the 31st of July to complete that process. One of the points that we need to understand is that during the period after which we assessed, there have been instances where certain of the municipalities have undergone certain changes. Now, what we need to be able to, and I think the point is that we've indicated very clearly that accreditation is a process. It's not an event, and it's about also looking at what government objectives are, particularly in relation to providing and making sure that where it's feasible in terms of the Municipal Structures Act, in terms of the Systems Act, that delivery will is best placed to take place at where it is closest to people and where it makes sense to do so. So I know that there's a whole range of issues that have occurred, and I think the municipalities, the metros are here themselves. In many respects, Chair, I don't think it's fair to compare municipalities, because certain of them have built capacity, certain of them are in the process of building capacity. Some of them had and had very good capacity. If you look at, for example, and we'll mention, I think the FSC indicated that Buffalo City are busy experiencing sort of challenges in relation to SDG. But you go back 2 or 3 years ago, Buffalo City was one of the best performing municipalities in the country. It achieved VUNA awards. You take Nelson Mandela. But although there have been those systematic, I think we must be very careful and we must be very rational and mature not to sort of have write those municipalities off. So what we've done, particularly as the department and as we indicated in the presentation, together with Treasury, together with corporate governments, we've put into place a number of processes to assist municipalities to reach those levels of. And in the case of the metropolitan municipalities, I mean, I think it's very difficult for us to blanketly say that municipalities are not, or the metropolitan municipalities are not able to carry out those functions. Some of them are taking very good steps to do that, or achieve. I think it's one of the big issues here has been about the certainty, because you know I think if the municipalities themselves want to say so, then one of the issues that they have to say is that if they're certain they're going to get the function, then they can build the capacity. You know, it's just kind of chicken and egg situation. And I think it's also important that in relation to this, and I say this very reservedly, knowing that there's political and administrative issues, but accreditation and assignment is about giving power, and we know sometimes that can be very difficult and can be a painful process. And in certain instances, it's the way the provincial and municipal spheres arrange their delivery mechanisms. Sometimes it changes. So, for example, if you look at in the case of Ekurhuleni and in the case of City of Cape Town, it works well because the HOD for the Western Cape is here, and I'm sure he can shed light on that. They've got a good arrangement. Ekurhuleni is the same. Scouting at a stage had that, and they're now busy revising those stages. So I think we need to be without rushing into something. I think we need to be very careful that if we say we're going to go through this process, let's go through it, painful as it is going to be, build capacity, but we're not going to achieve everything in the same. So, we're not going to be able to achieve everything overnight, particularly in the sphere, because capacity is, one of those very sort of iffy things.
Probably give that to each metro, that to say maybe, and the HODs in the province, there are some HODs here. That's before we could get everything. You're saying up to now, where you think that this that we have granted. Now, the issue that in fact I want to raise, that we want to raise as a committee that deals with issues of appropriation, is that you are allocating each municipality certain amounts of money, the metros. So the question now, with that painful process, are they are ready to handle those allocations?
Jay, what I want to do is that what we've done is that, it's the carrot and egg, the carrot and stick approach. So if you look at the HSDG, the Human Settlements Development Grant Framework, and this is what we've included here in this. It says, and this is on page 156 of DORA, okay, it's the grant framework, the Human Settlements Development Grant Framework. What we said here is that in the event that the following metropolitan municipalities are assigned Level 3 accreditation during 2013-14, the National Department will be required to allocate funds to these municipalities based on the sector allocation formula used for Human Settlements Development Grants. The National Department will make provision to be able to transfer the following indicative amounts, and here's important, depending on projects seeded by provinces, directly to the stated municipalities once the municipality assigned with the housing function in terms of level B accreditation. And I think what that basically says is that it's an inter-spherical relationship and collaborative effort, national, province, and a municipality. Because if we all agree, and that's why, I mean, Gauteng is a very good example, and Mayor Ramaphosa might want to comment on that together with the MMC, Ngonyama and Duba. But they've gone a long way to signing those protocols, as we've reported to the portfolio chair, which created that window period of building capacity. But this year is basically saying to both provinces and municipalities, we're serious as national government to want to assign those responsibilities. And if you do so, we're providing a mechanism to do that. So if it doesn't happen, these amounts won't be. If it does, it will be. You know, it's we're sitting in the middle here, and that's why I'm saying, you know, it's about the provinces and the municipalities together with us having to work out exactly whether the assignment takes place or not.
No, Pichi, that's precisely why we call this meeting. It's exactly the paragraph that PPG was written on. Because our understanding is that if we know that we are allocating Nelson Mandela 206 million, want to pass the Tribunal of Revenue, knowing that at the end of the day, Nelson Mandela will account for 206 million. Now, this what you call the paragraph that the EPG has read is not actually saying Nelson Mandela, you will receive 206 million. He has given the explanation that if you fulfill 1, 2, 3, you will do it. And it puts the committee in a kind of a dicey vertical situation. Are we approving this? What are we doing exactly? And when we are doing that, we are approving it because Nelson Mandela will receive 206 million and other, and all the metros, this money. And at the end of the day, who accounts, you know, I think that is a bit of a dicey, what you call difficult, that we found ourselves in order to. That's why we asked for this meeting. Clarify precisely that issue. Comrade Ramadan, I see your hand.
No, thank you, Honorable Chair. The DGG, in responding to the question, has gone through a very painful exercise, which I thought at the beginning it wasn't ready. I thought it was meant to be a straightforward answer, but it went through a very painful exercise in saying they are not ready. Because I think either there was intimidation in the room that he's not speaking straight. Because what he explained, the process and the process of assignment of level 3, that explains that they're not ready. They haven't gone through the entire process, and therefore the question can't be answered yet. I'm trying to read in what you are saying, DDG, in reply to that particular question. Because the presentations that of the metros seems to say something else. They say, well, they are ready. Whilst there is a process that perhaps all have not gone through that process. So that's what I'm hearing that, Chair, and I'm trying to see if I agree, if in fact I'm hearing you correctly, that they are not quite ready. There's unevenness, and that evenness has to be managed differently. If that's the case, then it closes the presentation of the individual presentation of metros, because I think that is the process we have to follow. Am I right?
I think you're right, Comrade Matangana, but I was thinking that if rather than allowing BBG to respond, we ask the HOD Western Cape. And which another HOD is here? And I want those where there are these six metros.
It's
Eastern Cape or Eastern Cape is as well. Eastern Cape. Etegwin is here, there's a big delegation. Now Tane is the what you call it. The mayor there decided to delegate the mayor to come and represent the province. HOD.
Thank you, Honorable Chen and Honorable Members. And our approach at the Eastern Cape is that if we start assessing readiness, we won't get ready. So we are supporting Nelson Mandela Metro to help them towards accreditation and assignment level 3, so that we, that's with Nelson Mandela. They're currently on level 2 accreditation, and the challenges that they face are not necessarily linked to the administration. When it comes to Buffalo City, we are saying to Buffalo City, they have applied for accreditation level 2. We are saying to them that they're not ready because they don't have capacity, but it's a conversation between us and them to assist them rather than a nice to have, because the added responsibility is just going to cripple them as an institution, and we as a province want to support them to get to that stage. But they're still way off in terms of the assignment.
Okay.
The question that I want to ask from the department, what criteria do they use to identify these municipalities?
I was also going to request the HOD to clarify that question. Maybe I could have been different to say. In other words, the same for Nelson Mandela, the institutional arrangements, are they ready to go? Because we want to, imagine yourself in our own situation as to what is it that we're passing in this debate of revenue. Mm-hmm. Are we passing this money to be allocated to the members, to Nelson Mandela, for instance? Because to ourselves, it says a lot that in the event, because the responsibilities that the DPG was explaining is that once you've given the 206 million, you're saying to us you're going to be able to spend it. But as Honorable Machano was saying, you were also, the DPG was saying, even the 6 metros are not necessarily at the same level. But now we're talking about Nelson Mandela, Eastern Cape, and you're saying now, where is Nelson Mandela? Who can respond to the question?
Yes, in fact, I would understand it more if they can use Western Cape as an example, because the DTG mentioned that Western Cape is among those good ones. So I would understand it more better, this criteria.
Jay, in the explanation, could we also hear whether, because it all relates around capacitation, do they actually provide money in the allocation so that there can be capacity building for the various metros?
When we do the assessment, we do a comprehensive assessment of the municipality. So it's governance, it's project management, it's administrative, it's the entire assessment. As part of the accreditation framework, and I can make that available, it's a comprehensive assessment. We've got an independent panel, takes your audit reports, project management, as I've indicated, governance, your committee system, the entire process. And once that assessment made, it gets into the province, it gets into the municipalities, they comment on it, and then a recommendation is made from the minister to the provincial MEC. Just to indicate, in terms of identification of which metros or municipality, that was a responsibility that we received. So each province then sent a list to us, which indicated. Chair, I just want to indicate, I was not saying that the metros are not ready. I'm not saying that. If I had to sit here and I had to say, we could make sort of, I think, very objective criteria. You know, the issue is, at the end of the day, it's our ability to be able to understand that you're not going to get everything achieved in one party unless you make a commitment. And that's why we've put this here, so that it allows both the provinces and the municipalities to take that decision, which we support. If we sat here, we support the accreditation and assignment of those municipalities. Because if we don't do that, then we're saying, you know, the fact that Tonet got a budget of 20 billion and runs, people live there and those kind of things. I mean, we're talking about a really small amount of money in context, if we contextualize it in the bigger budget. Joburg, for example, I mean, it's a Queenie's budget, 30 billion. You know, in the context of that, the fact that they are able to perform those functions, the issue is we've got to take that decision. You know, it's about parents leaving their children or when the children leave home. And letting them, I mean, it's a simplistic example. But we've got to take that decision. That's why in the presentation, I think in response to members' question, we've provided a substantial amount of money. The accreditation support for this year to municipalities is 93 million. And that's not for each of the provinces. Except for Gauteng and Western Cape. So in those other provinces, we've allowed that. But in addition to that capacity, National Treasury has set up what is called the City Support Program. And I think Marissa last year was 800 million or something like that. I'm not sure what this over the period. It's a substantial amount of money that's going to be provided for municipalities to undertake that capacity building.
For the last 10 years. When we talk about capacity, I think we need to break it into two categories. There is what we call the front office capacity, there is what we call the back office capacity. In some instances, what we've done in the city of Cape Town, which is more than ready, I think the city of Cape Town is ready to be assigned level 3 accreditation. What we've been doing over the last 2.5 years, we've given them an allocation of 10 million rands every year, an annual allocation every year of 10 million rands to build that capacity. We also seconded some of the officials from the province who were working very closely with the housing department or human settlement department in the city of Cape Town to beef up the back office capacity. Most of the metros, I think I'm representing all the other metros as well, most of the metros do have what I would call the front office capacity, which is more about construction management, engineering services. They are big engineering services departments. What we needed to do is to build more the back office capacity so that it is a clear pipeline of projects that are ready to go. When a municipality is not spending, its allocation is not necessarily a reflection of poor capacity. It's a reflection of poor pipelining or poor projects that are ready to be implemented. We've seen it in George, we've seen it in Knysna, in this municipality. In fact, Knysna municipality can be given level 2 accreditation at any time right now, but they've been working very closely with their engineering services department because that's where the bulk of the front office capacity resides. The back office capacity is about administration because housing or human settlements is one of the most prescriptive programs because we have to manage all of those programs And if you don't manage them well in the back office, then the AG is going to blast you big time. That is the biggest challenge. That is the worry at this stage. But I think most of the metros are more than ready to be given level 3 accreditation. In fact, we don't call it level 3 accreditation anymore. We call it the assignment arrangement. I think it is assignment by executive powers. You know, the premier and the MECs responsible for human settlements in the province who will be assigning those powers. I think we've been working on this program for the last 3.5 years. I think I'm representing my colleagues here as well. This program started more than 2 years ago. I think these 6 metros are more than ready to be assigned the housing powers. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, HOT. Okay, but HOT, you still it's been something. I'm not sure if you want to finish or are you done? I don't know. You explaining, the process that you did engage with Nelson Mandela.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Out of the big 3 criteria, the governance, administration, and operational capacity of the municipalities, there's always one in a governance, administration, and the operations, the actual then subsection. So what it would be is the governance being the politicians, and then the administration, the top management, operations being the human settlements component. There's always one that tends to be a problem that impedes the accreditation process. In the sake of Nelson Mandela, they only appointed the municipal manager 2 weeks ago, or a few weeks ago. And they still don't have a permanent CFO, they still don't have a permanent human settlement. So when it comes to the governance, there's a question mark. But what we are saying is that we need to take the, I don't want to use a bad word, but a calculated risk with them, that if we give them the responsibility based on their spending patterns, where the challenge comes in is obviously their bulk spending is not up to scratch, then we know our focus is helping them with the bulk spend, because they spend on their HSDG grant. So I think it's a matter of us making those choices as to what would work best. And when it comes to the metros that have some reasonable capacity, if we were to discuss the other parts of the conversations, we don't necessarily agree with Nelson Mandela, but that's our ego problem, not the reality on the ground. And we are saying that's the risk we're willing to take. With Nelson Mandela, I mean with the Buffalo City, the conversation is straightforward. You know that you have a problem. They have very basically, every time they put out a tender for houses to be built, they have an objection in court from other, there's just absolute movement. January they built 56 houses for the old Mandela Metro. So then the conversation is different. So we are saying that we have to, as government, assist those municipalities by helping them to answer what they can answer. Thank you.
I'm not going to pursue this question of criteria and the accreditation and the allocation of money. I will wait when they come back. And I promise you, I will not forget. You must trace each and every cent. Cape Town, the metro of Cape Town, is 2 cities in one, and it's divided by a railway line. And when you go on the other side, you are in another world. Yes, there's a lot of money that is being pumped in this municipality, in this metro. Now, when you come back, you are going to answer each and every cent. I want to see it now. I hear that there's 10 million that is put on annual basis. Where does it go? Because if you go on the other side, you are in a different world. So you have to human settlement. Tell us, each and every cent of the money that you are pumping in the Western Cape, and to where is it going? Who is benefiting out of it? I rest my case for now.
Fulham? Honorable Fulham, yes, one is so far.
Thank you. May I talk?
Yes. I think I'm just going to say this, I think now.
to all the metros and municipalities that are here. Guys, we are still giving out housing in an old apartheid way. When you go to township, you give me, what? These metros. You know, I was at Philippi 2 weeks back. Yeah, I was saying to them, it means you don't know how to speak Afrikaans. Because in where I come from, at least we've got a four-room house. You only got a one-room house. There's no yard. And we are talking about that people must start now to do their own gardening and everything. But when they give you an allocation of a house, they don't even give you the space just to have a green grass at least in front of your house. I can't, when I go there, my cat got a dent. Because I was getting into the street, it's so small. I couldn't turn around and there's a dent. So I'm just saying, whatever you are planning, whoever is planning, can we change the way we are planning when it comes to black people? Because now we still say, when it goes to Philippi, it must be a small house. When it goes to Houtbach, it's a big yard. That has got so many rooms, they can even build their houses there. So that's part of what I'm saying. The second issue, whatever you are accreditating, whatever, even our accreditation, I want to see issue of disability. You know, we get a big building that is just being built now, but we still argue with the landlord because whoever accredited that landlord, I'm still struggling to get into that. I'm just talking to you. You know, it's so good that you came so that I can talk to all of you. You make sure that part of the accreditation issues of disability are included because you're talking about universal access. Where is this universal access? Why you can't know about it as municipal? But you are going overseas, you are going everywhere. You do travel as municipalities. But when you come back, you still don't see this in everything, whether it's transport or whatever. If I can see that, chapter, my apology if I've gone out of the real topic. Thank you.
I know what a fantastic one scene, I know.
Sorry.
Maybe if you could come up and go so that it was no man, you got to have a lot of
people.
Let's hear. I know you have a presentation. Please, I'm not, I'll request you not to go to the presentation. But that's true, what you call the answer. I know that the presentation answers what we're trying to do. That's why a lot of members keep on saying, the members are saying, I see one, what you call the presentation, it's your presentation. But, okay.
Yes, sir.
Is it not possible that we can break for lunch and come in back? Of course, you know. I'm just thinking, I'm not sure, perhaps if you arrange a lunch for us today, I think that's possible. But I'm just worrying about the situation now.
Yes,
sir. So another thing Fuller was saying, no, you can't speak Afrikaans. I'm not sure whether I was referring to yourself or to Honorable Swar sitting next to him.
I was wondering about
now, what you're doing, Honorable Khaled, I'm just waiting for a feedback, you know.
Agree with you on that feedback.
You know, in some places, Honorable Khaled, people say, you're part of the family. They say, no, man, the curtain has fallen in your bedroom. Just come and have a look here. And the plate is waiting for you. That there's no action, so we don't want to do that, you know. Let's hear from the horses now.
Just for a sec, Honorable Tambuza.
Thanks, Comrade, or the teacher of the session. Just to the net result of the submission is that we are ready. I think the one point that needs to be emphasized is that since the level 2 accreditation, at least in the province, the provincial department has been working the 3 metros with regards to preparation for possible assignment or level 3 if you like. So we are more than ready. We have also made institutional arrangements from capacitating the department. I mean, from our side, we have done a new organizational design, so we'll be populating it in anticipation of the assignment. So I'm just saying the net result is that we are more than ready.
However, you have not yet signed the protocol with Robin.
Oh, we have. We have last year August already. Yeah.
They are already in the process of establishing or designing an African institutional arrangement. So I think it's not a question for them. The standing committee is going to discuss that, and then they will take a decision on that one. The RFCC, City of Johannesburg, is it here?
City of Johannesburg.
No, thank you, Chair. I thought May is also speaking on behalf of us when we're speaking about the metro.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm an accountant on the individual municipality. Yes, accountant.
Thanks, Chair. I think we are more than ready. I think we experienced, challenges, around the process of administrative process between us and the province, but it has been solved. Currently, we are moving, in the right direction. We think we are more than ready, as a government to be able to be assigned. And just to say, we are more confident, because if I may to say, Chair, I think just to repeat what the Chair of the day indicated, that looking at the previous happenings at the Bulen, we were able to build around 10,000, which over the past five years, we couldn't even build more than 5,000 at all. So it's a indication that assigning of the responsibility back to the municipality will bring back the actually delivery of houses in a high bid.
Thank you. Imali ni tender is green typically.
Chair, I agree with you, but I think we also addressed that one, because one of the challenges was also the location of the fund itself, which was a challenge in everyone. But I think this year we're very clear that the money has its own purposes. It must spend on that purpose itself. So we're clear about that. We're not going to experience that moving forward. It's not going to where it's not supposed to be. It will spend on what is exactly meant to be. Yes, Chair. I think we're just about to finalize. No, yes, Chair.
Not to where we are.
No, we've got a recent, resignation of the HOT, human service, but the rest have been finalized. In a month's time, we're finalizing the new employment of an HOT.
No, it's fine, but it's painful to access the municipality and then it collapses. I don't want to go back. You remember, Imanawu was accredited, and then it collapsed, and then it was re-accredited. So, we urge the municipalities to make sure that we don't go back. And the intergovernmental relations and the cooperative governance, let's make sure. I want to talk about what is important, we must work together, because this is not for us as individuals. It's for the best interest of the country, what we are doing. If we can keep that in mind, we are from a very good summit. Let's go forward from the workshop we had, the summit we had. Let's go forward as much as we Mangau, are you ready?
Thank you, Chair. We are awaiting the result of accreditation. The assessment was done. We are still at accreditation or outstanding assessment on accreditation level 2. Yeah, so the MEC has not received the report as yet.
No, when he was making a mistake, you are not listed yet. Yes, you are not listed here, but I think I can give you my colleague the opportunity to speak.
Thank you very much. I've noted the presentation saying that the assessment was done and the recommendations are submitted to the MEC, which, in as far as I remember, it is not yet done. Unless if it was posted while I was on my way here. And Chairperson, I think I'm also tempted taking the opportunity of being given this opportunity. I think Honorable Member is quite correct to say we need to ensure that our communities, they regain their dignity through the type of houses that were given to them. I want to say here and now, my own seated next to me, they are not going to go away with that native. Because at the moment, we are redesigning the four-room RDP houses that we provided for the disabled. We are changing, redesigning the plan so that those plans must be accessible. Through our State of the Province address on our chair, it is very clear the mandate is given, the marching order, that in that province, no one-room house, no one-door house, even the two-room houses, we are collecting the data, we are going to deal with them to ensure that our people are regaining their dignity at any point in that province. Thank you, Chairperson. Mangau must listen. It will never happen in that province.
Thank you. Are they ready?
I think Winnie is going to be moving to level 3 accreditation. We working very closely towards that process with Tegwini, right from the MEC and mayor level right to the official level. We are fine-tuning all the processes and everything. The level protocol agreement for level 2 is going to be signed soon. Last week we were signing with other municipalities for level 1 and 2, but they will be for Etegwi, but we are working through for level 3. It's unfortunate that Etegwi, there was an invitation of trying to find out what happened to be represented today.
Dr. Chair, I think what I miss from the presentation is I hear a verbal question. Question. Okay. Undos. In connection with that. I hear him to be saying they are now going to sign level 2. And can you tell us perhaps whether they're hoping to sign level 3?
Honourable Chair, although I won't have a date, because on Thursday it was the signing of the other 6 local municipalities, but the MEC did indicate that very soon, because we wanted to do a Tegwini separately for the accredited and the signing. But everything, the documents are there, and the MEC did announce that we are signing for the 6th, but the 7th one, Etegwini, is going to be signed soon. Yet, and as we are preparing the process for the assignment as well.
No, I think Neville, can you help us here? Because we want to know. On which level? Then, as far as your understanding, are there any challenges that can amount to the province not signing the level 3 accreditation to for the municipality as far as you know, in terms of understanding.
So as far as our understanding was that the level 2 accreditation was concluded and the processes that are in place now in terms of the protocol that's been agreed upon is the processes of moving from level 2 to level 3 assignment for accreditation. That was our understanding.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson. Now, I think that we think that department, national, and AZN must talk. Not members who is not reported. Swane has reported Ekurhuleni, Cape Town. Jobek is not here. Now, I just want to propose a way forward. We have some challenges, our own challenges. I think meeting on Mondays. Normally, parliament doesn't make the necessary what you call arrangements. Now we have the challenges, so it means that we need to conclude soon. But, honored members, I want to propose a way forward. We can pass this division of revenue with this arrangement. It is not going to change the amount. My understanding is that what this paragraph DDG was reading from was saying, once the province is satisfied that a metro now is at level 3, they can allocate the functions, they will take from their own, what you call, correct me, they will take from their own resources these amounts that I hear and allocate to that municipality. But once the province is satisfied with national and treasury, so it's not going to change anything. However, what we will propose with that we will pass the division of revenue as it stands, but we will have a meeting around July, early July, when we come back between the department, the same meeting with the metros, and especially the metros that will have hit that time your assessment will be able to say you have metros that are getting level 3. In other words, what we're requesting that time, we'll invite you for an update on this process. How far are you together with a human assessment? How far are you? Who is really getting the money? But I think the main thing, a lot of members, the emphasis was that no metro is getting this allocative, what you call money, until it has proven itself. In other words, the department says, I don't want to dump this money with anybody. I don't know if we could agree on that statement, that we will, but we'll monitor the situation. Is that agreeable, honorable members? Honorable Yengen?
I'm saying it to add on what I'm saying, the money we must they must come back and tell us whether they are able to spend, but also to use the money. But what is important is that the money must be used for what it has been earmarked for. If the money is for Khayelitsha, it must go to Khayelitsha. Thank you.
Okay. I don't know, honourable members, if there's any different comment. Yeah. So, DG, I think that we... I don't know, honourable members, if there are any comments.
Comrade Chairperson?
I think...
I have a comment. So, Divine Amaya, are you mentioning this next week? Yeah, that week.
Divine Amaya now?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, honored members, all the members, irrespective of the sphere, I think that what we're saying is that we have heard what is being said by the department. I think the department was frank in terms of the understanding. I think that's what is, that's something that is good. In other words, when the we'll get an update, Tichy, around July, August, of how many metros have been now allocated and what. It's clear that some people are still having headaches and stomach aches and everything. We hope that by that time those who have been sorted out, that's one. But there's something that honorable members that is different from that. That is the USDG DDG. There, the resources have been allocated to say to the 8 metros. No? Yeah. So there, I think that there is no mystery. We want Mamadouba. Umuntu onama informal statements ezidlula wonke umuntu la in the house. You have Ekurhuleni has got the most informal statements and hosts. I know that. The report, that's what the report says. So what we want, DG, we're going to monitor the word card. I mean, try to ask. The presentation by FSC is high organic. We are going to monitor the implementation of these resources. All of us, without exception, I think we have one objective to ensure that services go to the people. This money is meant for those people. Yes. That we need to ensure. That's why we're saying to you now, today, in March, that time of the year, we will invite you. And then let's get updates. In fact, I think the colleagues, even those who are not here, we really apologize that, in fact, we thank those executive mayor for being able to come at short notice, and the other colleagues. We really want to call it. Thank you for that. But next time, the next round, you will be invited timely, so that even those colleagues that are not here are with us, because we would like to ensure that this USDG is expanded and expanded properly. DG, we have spoken about RILC. We have agreed on the process that we're not having the meeting tomorrow with you, as we initially thought that we would have with the DG. But it doesn't mean that you and the DG for Treasury, we want you to come back to us and try to tell us. We don't take decisions on something that we are busy with, and you take your own decisions and continue. We will not automatically agree to that. We have agreed that this grant remains 60, schedule 60, until we are satisfied as committees. But, Comrade Professor, I think that you must make sure that there is sufficient implementation arrangements for RILC. Please, we can't every day say to our people who will want to increase. But also, I don't understand why we say to our people, people are friends, are fine for them, and we are going to have waterborne, what you call it, where we may understand that in some situations, maybe in your Mazuti, what you call a region, where you might be having challenges of water and whatnot. It's not all the what you call areas where there are those challenges. We think that where the municipalities are able to provide water, borne sanitation, let's do it. I think that Comrade Mufulo, what she was saying, so was mouthful, you know, to give our people the dignity that they deserve. I think that's what it is all about. Well, thank you very much, FSC. You always, what you call, very helpful. I want to apologize again just for lunch. Apparently, our arrangements are not proper because Parliament, arrangements with Parliament were not properly done. I'm sure Treasury would call this money that we didn't use today savings. No way. We'll do that. On that note, thank you very much. Comrade Duba, Comrade Rapupa, can I speak to you?